What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computer's weekly tech podcast. This is episode 320, and this week's podcast is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something that gives you a little kickback, or gives us a little kickback, and keeps the podcast on going. With me is my co-host Ryan. What's going on?
Not much. Just ready for another week of podcasting. Just we're both a little tired. I was contemplating taking a nap when I got home from work, but everybody else wanted to go swimming in the family, so that's what I did. You got the G Fuel, it looks like.
I got my G Fuel.
I went with the energy drink.
I think I had this last week,
didn't I?
I think I do remember. Perrier energy drink. Is it flavored?
Yeah. This one's pomegranate and yerba mate.
I feel like every company has an energy drink now. And every company has a seltzer now. Like Mountain Dew has an alcoholic seltzer now.
Really?
And a couple different flavors too.
I almost bought these Corona seltzers last weekend, but then I ended up buying a different Corona, like Refrescas. And I've been enjoying those a lot.
I think the reason is one, because like the seltzer is like popular now. Right. But two, if they do it with actual liquor, they like instead of, like some seltzers are like beer flavored seltzer or beer the main component is beer based, but the ones that are liquor based, they can sell them for so much more. So like a pack of four that are actually liquor based is like $12 to $15. Yeah. Whereas the ones that are beer based, it's like buying a case of beer. You know what I mean? Right. So the seltzers are, there's all kinds of crazy ones too.
Yeah. I bought some bomb water for my wife the other day.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of funny.
Yeah, there's all kinds of stuff. So drink responsibly this summer. you were just in the pool, you said, too. You were just
out there swimming. Took a little dip. Yep. I got a little too much sun this last weekend. Some at the pool, some working in the yard.
I did see you were on a boat this weekend, too.
Yeah. Not very big, but a little pedal boat. Yep.
Yeah, so. I did see that, so. Very cool, very cool. But enough about us. We'll get into tech here. If you guys want to follow along, as always, we have our show notes, which you can follow along right now. Or if you're listening later, we have the link in the description of this video or the podcast or the audio version. You'll be able to find it there. It has everything that we're going to be talking about this week. And we'll go ahead and start things off with an MMO gaming mouse, which we talked about, and I feel like Ryan, you're the authority on MMO games.
Authority between the two of us, yes.
Yes, you are the authority. I have it. Hold on.
Yeah, old man says he likes the gallon of tea with lemonade you can get at the grocery store. Yeah, the Arnold Palmer is pretty good too. That's a good one.
So this is the, let me bring myself up large so you guys can see it. This is the mouse here, and this is the SteelSeries Aerox 9 wireless. And as you can see, it has a bank of 12 buttons on the side. Plus you have your two main buttons there, scroll wheel. All in total, you can program 18 different commands on this, which is pretty crazy for a mouse. And the cool thing about this, as you can see, it has the sort of honeycomb design. That basically allows it to be pretty light. So 89 grams for a mouse that has a ton of buttons on it is pretty cool. And you can even see it goes through the bottom. I can turn it on, and you get some RGB lighting there as well, which is pretty cool. So like I said, it's a very, very cool mouse. I love that we're getting to the place where we can have these. Typically, again, MMO mice are bigger because you need to make room for all the buttons, but 89 grams is still decently light. I would say a normal MMO mouse would be like 110.
Yeah, 110, 120. Like they're definitely noticeably heavier usually, especially like the Corsair. I can't think of it off the top of my head, but you know, it's got similar button layout, but it's definitely heavier than this one.
Yeah, so 89 grams. It feels really good in my hand, as I said. It glides really well. Now, if you're since I reviewed it, I've been using the Razer Viper V2 Pro, which is 58 grams, I believe. You can tell the difference between 58 and 89. It's just like going from like 60 hertz to 120. Like you can definitely tell the difference. So it is going to be a heavier mouse, and it has a noticeably bigger bump on it too, I would say. Like if we look at it from the side, again, it has like just a bigger bump on it. The sloping is more pronounced as well on the front. Let's go to the pictures of the front here. You can see kind of the sloping of the buttons there on the front. Definitely, again, just a larger mouse, but I really do like it. as you guys may know, I'm not the biggest MMO person, but it even if you don't play MMOs, these are great for a lot of different games, or even apps. Like I reprogrammed a lot of stuff in Lightroom with these buttons. So again, you're getting, it's like I said, 12 buttons on the side of the mouse, which is really good. You know, especially if you're doing photo editing, video editing, something where you need to use a bunch of different buttons, having them all on the, you know, basically accessed with your thumb just makes it much easier. And it's faster, especially when you're gaming. It's faster to click your mouse than to find the key on the keyboard and kind of move your finger over a larger space, I would say. Just makes it easier. So I really like this mouse. The sensor is great. Everything works. The wireless works. It's 2.4 gigahertz. So it does come with a USB dongle, but you can use it in Bluetooth mode as well. So again, maybe if you're not gaming and you just want to throw it in Bluetooth mode for doing those, you know, Photoshop, video editing, things like that, you can go ahead and do that. I believe it's 80 hours on 2.4 gigahertz and 150 hours on Bluetooth. So it's not like this is something that you're going to be having to charge, you know, every day. And what's really nice about it, it has a quick charge. So you plug it in for 15 minutes and I believe you get, I forget how many hours you get just for plugging in for 15 minutes, but it has a quick charge, which is really nice too. So, you know, you forget to plug it in and then you're gaming and maybe it goes out or something like that. You can take a quick 15 minute break, go to the bathroom, come back and you have a decent amount of charge on your mouse, which is really nice. So really like that about it as well. Charges via USB C in the front. There's no charging dock or anything like that. But like I said, it works for me. The only thing that I found a little weird is if I bring myself back up again. So we have the bank of buttons right here. And the one thing that was a little hard to press was that first bank of buttons, the three, the two, and the one. I felt like my thumb, like I just felt like I was like extending my thumb a little far. That was the only issue. Now, maybe if you have larger hands than what I do, you might not run into that issue.
Is it like harder to get leverage on the buttons, or are they actually like harder to press?
No, so it's harder to reach the button. Okay. Like I felt like typically with most mice, especially if you have just a normal mouse, like your side button's super easy to press. You just, it's like hard to show, but like,
yeah, it's just like right there.
Yeah. You just have like, you move your thumb easily. This, I felt like I was extending, like I had to move my hand up to press the three and the two and the one. All the other ones were easy enough to press, but those ones in the front were harder to press. Again, if you have a larger hand, it might not be as big of an issue, but for me, it was an issue. So definitely something to think about. But yeah, it's a good overall mouse. It is, how much is it? It is $112.99. I think the MSRP was $149 when it launched. So it's on sale right now for $112.99 on Amazon, which is a great deal. So definitely check it out. I'm not the biggest MMO person, but if you are comfortable using these sort of bank, you've used some mice like this, right? Banks on the side.
The Corsair Scimitar was that. And it's super handy. Like it sometimes takes a little bit to get used to, like which function you've mapped to it. And then once you kind of get the feel for where each one's at, it becomes pretty natural.
Yeah, it's definitely, so if you're used to like a normal mouse with a couple of buttons, this kind of keypad, I call it a keypad on the side, because that's essentially what it is. It does take some time to get used to. But if you, like, I would say if you master it, it's awesome having that many buttons, you know, that close, like super easy To do so. And again, you can even use it in FPS games and things like that, where you need a couple more buttons, or like a, you know, typically the side button is used for like a quick weapon switch. But, you know, say like we play Apex, I could have one for health, I could have one for grenades. Like I wouldn't have to be using my keyboard as much, which is great. So, yep. So definitely check out the review. And you know, it is open, as you can see, but it's IP56 rated. So you can splash. It's not waterproof, but it's dust and water resistant. So if you accidentally spill something on this, you know, you don't have to worry, or you don't have to worry about getting dust in there or anything like that. It's not going to damage the components, which is nice. So yeah,
cool.
So definitely check it out. And like I said, old man in the chat, he was talking about a Logitech one, and the Logitech one's wired. It's nice having. There's only, I don't know how many wireless MMO mice we have, but having a lightweight wireless one is just really nice. And I think, like, again, we're getting to that point where I think people are realizing like the lightweight is the way to go, even though I was a skeptic at first. Lightweight's the way to go. And if we can bring all of the types of mice, not just the, you know, professional FPS mice to that level, I'll definitely be a happy camper. So yeah. Definitely check that out. And I took a look at some keyboard cables from Cable Mod. If you guys don't know Cable Mod, they make they're probably the standard. Wouldn't you call them the standard when it comes to individually sleeved power supply cables, custom cables that you can buy that you could match to your build? They've been doing it for a very long time. Well, they've taken that expertise and moved it over to actually, they make a ton of different cables, but they moved it over to keyboard cables. The popular thing to do is get, you know, like a coiled cable like we have here. We have this one as well. And it's just a great way to add just some style to your setup, I would say. The great thing about Cable Mod is, one, they have pre-made cables that you can buy on Amazon, which if you don't want to take the time to customize or pay the little bit extra money, you can just buy one straight off Amazon. And this is one of their pre-made cables. It does come with like the aviator connector, which is nice. So a lot of pre-made cables don't. But I'll go ahead and show you how to like how you would design your own cable. So that's the one thing I think Cable Mod has going for them, is you want a custom cable, you want it to match your specific keyboard or your setup or whatever it is. But a lot of these online ways to configure your cable are very hard to understand. You're really not sure, especially like maybe as a beginner, when it comes to this type of stuff, like you're not really sure what certain, like
what a component is called or something.
Yeah. Like what's an aviator connector? What's the difference? Like what's my cable going to look like in the end with the colors that I selected. So I'm going to run through their online configurer. So go here and you pick if you want a complete cable, you want a keyboard side only. Of course you want the complete cable. And then do you want their pro coil? So their pro coil, it's a full coiled cable that has the aviator connector. And then they have their classic coiled, which is a coiled cable with no aviator connector. You can also get straight cables made if you don't want the coil, which have the aviator, or a classic straight, which is just a normal straight cable. But again, you can, you know, pick your colors for that one. Pro coiled starts at $58.90, classic coiled $49.90. So slightly a little bit more expensive, but again, you are customizing this, so keep that in mind. So we'll select pro coiled and we'll go to the next page. So under hardware, does your keyboard have RGB lighting? So either select yes or no. And then what connector does your keyboard use? So this is the connector coming off of your keyboard. For most new mechanical keyboards, it would be USB-C. That's a $1 upcharge to get USB-C, but that's what we're going to do. And then what connector does your host have? So that would be like your PC. For most people, it would actually be USB-A, unless you're using a laptop that only has USB-Cs. But for most people, USB-A, we'll go ahead and select that. Next step. So what direction would you like your coil to go towards? So this is like the customization that you don't get from other people. Is like, okay, you know, if you're USB connection on your keyboard is at the top right or the top left, you obviously don't want the coil to be going the opposite direction.
Right.
So you select left or right, depending on the location of the USB connection on your keyboard. For this case, and again, they do show you, like, there is a picture of the keyboard kind of showing you which way the coil will go. So again, we just select left, and we'll say we want it to go, you can select it to go straight out, or you can select it to go upwards. We'll select upwards, and then length. So you can select the coil length, the coil size, the coil to the quick disconnect or the aviator connector, the length of the keyboard to the coil, and then the length from the quick disconnect to the host. They're all set to defaults, but you can change these lengths however you want. It's nice that they give you the diagram. Again, if you would see, like, if you're just doing this and there's no diagram, like, what does coil to QDC mean? Like, what does that mean? Right. You know?
It's nice that they have the length scales too, because you could be looking at this going, well, this cable looks tiny. How's it going to plug it into my computer, right? Like, this is obviously not to scale picture, but it's good that they show the distances there.
So they have the distances so you can see. So we'll leave it as it is. Go to next. And now we pick our colors and everything like that. So change keyboard connector color. So you have a bunch of different options here. You have powder coating, anodizing, Cerakote?
Sure.
Is that how you say it? And then if you just want heat shrink, and you get to pick kind of the color that you want. What color you want to go with? Let's do powder coating, and we'll go with red, I guess. Sure. And we hit save. So now it shows it as red on the diagram, which is really cool. And then we'll change our sleeving colors. This is keyboard to the QDC. So you have a handful of options for the color, and then the handful of options for the mod mesh that goes over. So, you know, if we just do, say, blue with like a clear, it's more of a darker blue. But if we put the white mod mesh on it, you can see the color difference. What color? I don't know. Do you want to go red? Mesh the red?
No.
Or you're
doing white mesh?
We don't have to do white mesh. We can do whatever. We can do...
Do you have to do a mesh on there?
I believe that's what holds the coil
in place. Oh, the coil shape maybe? Okay.
Yeah, but they do have the clear mesh,
Let's do clear.
With the red?
Yeah.
Okay, sure. So we'll hit save, and now we can kind of see what our cable is going to look like. Change the QDC. So they have the typical aviator connector, and then they have a slimline connector, which I think looks like a... lightsaber. And then you get to pick what color do you want the keyboard side to be? We're doing white. Okay, so we'll do white, and adding this is an extra 250.
Let's do the Cerakote, which I looked up is
Stormtrooper white.
It's a like film thin ceramic coating.
Okay, so we'll do Stormtrooper white on the one side, and then Stormtrooper white on the other side, and then we'll make the middle or the
ring accent.
Yeah, the ring accent. We want it red.
Sure.
Wait. Yeah. No. What color?
No. Red's good. Red's good. Red's fine.
And then, mixing different colors. So we'll just do this red, I guess. Right. Heat shrink. Okay. Let's save. So that's what our cable will look like. And then you can change the host connector on this side. If you don't want the red, you can change that. You know, you can also change the sleeving color on the opposite side. So say we want to change that end sleeving color. I don't know, just do something different. Maybe just change it to the with the white mod mesh, right? You can change what that end would look like. So you get a full view of what your cable really is going to look like before you buy it, which I think is excellent if you're trying to match up colors. Now, the thing to keep in mind is you can't like put for like your sleeving, the most important part, you only have specific options. You can't put like a color code and be like, okay, this is, you know.
Right. I want this. Yeah. You've got to go from their pre-made solutions. Yeah.
But there it is. That, you know, there it is. It tells you total price $75.90 for this cable. Continue to next step, and then it, you know, has everything in here. that you want, and you can do everything, and then you can, you know, and what's really nice about this is that once you order the cable, they give you a URL where it has all your settings saved. So say you're like buying this for like a team, or like you have a bunch of the same keyboards and you got one cable and you're like, okay, I want three more of the exact same thing. Like nice. In our, let's go to our custom cable that we, this is the custom cable that I made. And what's nice about it is, I think I have it on the next page. Yeah. So like you, they give you a link, and if you open that link, it brings it back up. So can reorder it, or you can send it to a friend and be like, this is the one that I made, blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? So all the custom cable, so that custom cable that we just designed, it comes in this really nice, like hard shell case, you know, and both of the cables come with like this kind of like this thing that holds the coil. So your coil doesn't get bent or anything like that. It keeps the coil in place, which is really nice. But yeah, nice hard shell case that's like big enough for the cable, but you could, you know, put a bunch of different tech accessories in there, which is really nice. But yeah, so this is a cable. This is the one main side. And then, you know, you can see the coil quite nice. It's just the quality on these is really, really good. You can see the connector there that goes together. And then we got a pre-made coil. So the pre-made coil, again, $49.90, but some of them on Amazon are on sale right now for $39.90. And it doesn't come in the cool hard shell case, but it comes in just a, you know, your normal packaging. And this is everything that you get with it. You get the two different sides of the cable, and they have this sort of like a cable guide that has 3M backing. So you can put this at the end of your desk to keep everything nice, which is, I kind of wish they had one of those that came with a custom cable, but they don't. But yeah, this is the pre-made. This is the lime sherbet, I believe.
Yep.
Or lime sorbet, however you want to say it.
Sorbet, yeah.
But yeah, very good quality on this one as well. You can see the aviator connector going together. And then, you know, here is what everything kind of looks like, you know, all matched up together with...
That does look pretty sweet.
Yeah, with a couple different keyboards that I have. I do think, so I went with the clear mod mesh. I think I should have went with the white, possibly, to make this slightly not as shiny. But yeah, and here's this one with another keyboard that I have. You know, and then you can see with a white keyboard, with both of them look like, you know, with like a, this is an all white 60% keyboard, you can kind of see what they look like. So just add something different to your desk setup. I've been a fan of Coil cables. We reviewed a few different ones over the past couple of years. I really like these. The quality of these is really good. It's really nice that a custom cable does come with its own little carrying case, which is really cool. And just like the ability to really create your own custom one. You don't have to like send a text file to like somebody. Like, I remember the early days, like, here's this guide and here you have to fill in all these things. It's like, no, it's like, yeah. You just do it all on the website. You can see what it's going to look like before it's done. So there's no discrepancy in your cable. So I really like it. So if you're, like I said, if you're looking for a custom cable, I would say Cable Mod is the way to go. And their pre-made cables are really nice. Again, I think Cable Mod has a little bit, they're a little bit more expensive than some other cables out there, but the quality, I would say, is much better. Especially, like I said, you don't want your coil to become uncoiled within a couple, you know, weeks of using the cable, which would not be good. So, like I said, I like the quality of these. And again, if we go to their, let's see here. Let's see which ones. Oh, no, they don't have the Amazon link. Here we go. Let's go to the Amazon link. You can see which ones. Yeah, so the $39.90 right now on Amazon. And then there's a ton of different color options, and they're pre-made ones. So, you know, if you have like a blue keyboard, or even this will go good with like a white keyboard. Yeah. You know, and I do believe they have their... No, this is the only one. They did have some like spiralized ones as well, with like rainbow colors, which I think look really cool, but I can't find them. Maybe they don't have them on.
Maybe I saw them on their site, but
yeah. But yeah, I mean, $29.90 for the one that doesn't have the aviator. Like I said,
yeah, that's still a pretty good deal.
Yeah, I do think these are, like I said, they're high quality cables, and it's just nice, like ordering on Amazon. You know, you're going to get it within a specific amount of time. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So yeah, so it's, like I said, really cool stuff. Definitely check out our review if you're interested. They're just good. Like I said, just good, high quality keyboard cables. And I think Ryan, you need to get on the coiled cable.
Oh, no, I do.
Yeah, you got, you know. What keyboard are you using these days?
I'm still using the K65 is my main.
It's a good one.
It might, yeah, oh yeah. I like it, but it has such a huge bulky cable. That's the thing that I just bugs the heck out of me. But I've got a couple more. I got in a keyboard right over here that we're taking a look at. And
that might be my
replacement. Yeah.
Yeah, that one's wild.
I have a Kickstarter one. I don't even have it yet, but that one I'm kind of excited to get cool. to.
Yeah, it is nice. Like, once you finally build your PC, you know, to like, okay, keyboard's next. And like, you get, you know, even if you're not building your own one, but like, you're getting like a higher end
keyboard. So much now.
Yeah, you can customize them off the bats. Or like I use the IQ Nix, which comes with this really cool colorway. Like, you can, it's a little bit more expensive a keyboard, but again, it's like nice to have something like that. And again, this keyboard is so comfortable. I just love it. So, really cool stuff there. So yeah, let's move on to Case Mod Friday. And we have a build in the Cooler Master Half 700, which, or the Half 700 Evo, which is a massive case. And I haven't liked any of the builds that I've seen in this case, because they're just like crazy over the top. And it's just like, you know, this is a case that has like the dual, like, you can fit like 2 480s
in it.
Yeah, like it's huge. I really like how like the colors of this are just kept like
it's like peach champagne filled.
Yeah, it's like champagne color, and everything kind of matches. And it's like very understated. So like, even like the GPU block is like all black, you know, it matches the CPU block, and just like that hint of lighting through it, it just kind of makes this build kind of what it is. I really like that about this. You have the gold fittings, which,
that's the part that I don't like.
Okay,
that's the only thing I don't like about this, is that they're gold. Like, I think, I don't know if they would have looked better, I don't think they would have looked better silver or chrome, but I think they may have looked better in black.
Okay.
But anyhow, it's like, that's like such a minor detail though, because I think this build looks great.
But yeah, dual 360s up top. And I really like these fans. See how the RGB lighting kind of goes over to the, I really like that. I don't know what fans, he doesn't list the fans that he is. Can we even see what they are? Cooler Master fans. So yeah, they're really cool. I really like the fans. It's just like, I think that, you know me, like crazy RGB and all and everything, but I think the simplicity of the single color matching the color of the liquid, it just all kind of, it just all works really well together. That with the black, it just looks really, really good. How many radios are in here? You have,
I think those fans are their Master Fan SF120M ARGB fans. Just
okay. Yeah, definitely. I like how you can see the, and again, it sort of matches this kind of cut through on the
graphics. Just that thin line, yeah.
Yeah, it's very cool. So you have 2 360s or 3 360s, and I don't think there's a radiator up front, but there's 2 more fans and then 2 big fans in the back. There's so many fans. This would have been a wiring nightmare for the RGB on this. Yeah, with all those fans, and you can see the front, which has these sort of RGB things kind of built into it. But yeah, really cool build. Definitely check it out. Here's another one on the front. You can see that. It's just, It's clean. I would say, wouldn't you say this is just like clean, very clean?
Yeah. Oh yeah. And these fans, like I'm digging these because that logo stays still in the middle. It's spinners, you know, on spinners on
your spinners on your, on your build there. Yeah. Yeah. I'm slowly getting to a new build here and I've been looking at what fans I like the Lee and Lee fans, the Uni fan RGB ones
connect together. Yep.
Yeah. I really like those, but these could be an option here.
Kind of neat. Yeah.
Yeah. I do like them. So yeah, definitely check this out. As I always say, we have our full section of Case Mod Friday builds. So definitely if you want some inspiration or, you know, check out some really awesome hardware, definitely check that section of the site out. Lots of cool stuff there. We have for news this week to start off today, Intel launched their A380 desktop graphics card. But
where can I get one?
You gotta be in China.
Oh dang.
It's selling for 1,031, I believe, which is $153 US. So very entry level graphics card. Which was expected. We expected that to be the rollout would be low to high. So this graphics card makes use of Intel's DG2-128, which is a 6-nanometer part or 6-nanometer GPU, 8 Xe cores or 128 execution units, giving you a total of 1,024 unified shaders, 6 gigabytes of GDDR6 across a 96-bit wide memory bus, giving you 192 gigabytes of bandwidth. Base clock is 2000 megahertz. TDP is 75 watts. So all of your power, at least on the stock version of this, would be through the slot. So no PCI Express connectors. You're still going to get full DirectX 12 Ultimate capability, which includes ray tracing on this. Now, this is an entry-level card, right? This is very $153, very entry-level card. But Intel is kind of putting it out there as a gaming card. They showed some games at medium settings, 1080p. You know, you can see some, you know, I can't like, read.
Chinese. Those frame rates for, I'm guessing that's Apex Legends.
Yeah. Fortnite. Apex, Fortnite, Dota 2. And again, this is at 1080p, but still not bad. Right. No, I mean, this is definitely play. Like if you're an esports player, this is definitely playable frame rates here. We don't know the specific settings that these were at, but again,
right,
if you just want a game, I don't think that, like, especially like playing Apex or Fortnite or Dota 2, like the high-end shaders, like you don't really need the game to look beautiful, you just want to play it. So it's awesome. And there is custom cards from a couple companies. They're Chinese companies. There's this one that does have a 6-pin. This is the Gunner Intel Arc A380 Photon 6G OC. Is overclocked. Probably why you have the extra 6-pin here. But they're that making this. Go ahead.
It's interesting to me, the heatsink on this card. Do you see it? Like, it looks like it's just some milled aluminum with very thick fins, right? We're not used to seeing that thick of fins on, on the cooler of a graphics card. Or CPU cooler, for that matter.
I don't think they have. Yeah, I mean, this is what it looks like right here.
It's just very thick fins, but it's got a heat pipe there. Looks to be.
Yeah, so it's kind of interesting that we do have again, I know Intel is trying to push this, and especially in China, where like games like Dota 2 and what is this? What game is this? StarCraft?
I don't think that's StarCraft. No,
I don't know what that is. Whatever game this is, like, you know, a lot of these games are very popular, so that is why you're going to get custom cards. But I mean the base price of the card is 150, I mean, you know, around $153. I mean, this is a pretty hefty duty looking card for, you know, but I like it. I like to see it. Like, don't you like to see an Intel graphics card that looks kind of cool?
No, it looks good. I mean, it, you know, I like to see that price too, that $150. Like, okay.
That's the straight, what's it?
It's all right.
that's the currency exchange price. Who knows what they would sell for in the US, but yeah, I mean, I think it's good. And I think it's good for, like, especially in China too, like all like the esports cafes, like, especially since, you know, we are still getting out of the GPU shortage, like for them to be able to pick up a bunch of these cards for 1080p gaming, you know, I think it's pretty awesome. So yeah, there are custom cards out there. If you, you know, if you're interested, no clue when we will see this card in the US. If we will see it in the US, I assume we will, but I don't know when. But yeah, it's funny how all these companies are making this graph that's like after like the Apple kind of thing that has all the like the little things and the, you know, it's kind of funny. But yeah, like I said, cool stuff. Their first, like I said, their first discrete commercial desktop graphics card. I guess why they launched it in China first, but it would be nice for us to see the card in the US. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah. So, old man in the chat said we need a lot of competition on these entry level cards to keep the prices down. Yeah, I mean, that's the biggest thing. As much as we love our super high end cards, like, getting the prices down on the lower end cards is really good, and having as many low end cards available, because that's what a considerable amount of the market is buying. I think that's a good thing. So yeah, talking about low end cards, we talked about the GTX 1630, which is their lower end card. It looks like that has been delayed indefinitely. I guess a thing went out to board partners that the launch was supposed to be next week, and they updated the timeline, and it just says that it's to be determined. So I don't know if maybe they were waiting for the launch of the A380 to kind of finalize maybe their clock speeds or whatever it would need to, so we could be like, oh, we're faster. You know how they do that. And then this the new updates on the 40 series, again, we talked about this last week, but the timeline has been confirmed by like multiple sources now. So RTX 4090 September, RTX 4080 October, RTX 4070 November, and then RTX 4060 CES. So,
I mean, you're still beating holiday season for your top three cards, which is important.
Yeah. This year's going to fly by. I mean, it's already June. Man.
Yeah. I know. We were just talking about CES this morning.
Yeah. Yeah. Ryan's like, we're going to CES this year. I'm like, I assume so. So, yeah. That's, like I said, I wasn't really, I mean, the GTX 1630, not really super, excited about that one, but the 40 series, I think that timeline just makes more sense. And it gives them more time to really finalize and have I think that's like a good solid launch, for them. So, talking about the 40 series, it appears we don't have pictures. The picture that we have here is the old leaked card. This is not the cooler here, but according to the latest rumors, Intel has designed a triple fan reference cooler for the RTX 40 series cards. So it's not going to look like this. Maybe you'll have, because again, on this card, there's a fan on this side and a fan on this side, the two fans. I don't know how they're going to do triple fan on this, like how without that's making
it quite a bit bigger.
And are we going to see triple fan on like the first three cards? Are you going to see it on, and again, just this is a rumor
or something,
or maybe it's just a 4090 special edition, like we don't know, but I mean,
or maybe we see like a combination of a blower style and axial fans like this, right? Like maybe they, who knows.
Yeah, so it's going to be interesting. I do like it when NVIDIA changes up the design of the card. I think every generation they should. Obviously certain coolers do well. So they want to keep that design. But I do like to see, like, you don't like to see the same generation, like the same reference card look exactly the same for like four generations. Like, you want something to change up. But even if you're just changing the shroud up a little bit or doing something a little different, I really liked it when we had the introduction of the 20 series, just how that changed a little bit with that more, I don't know, just more angles and stuff on the shroud was kind of nice to see. So, so yeah, we will see if that's actually comes to be. As Gary, it's going to be a big card if there's three fans.
Yeah.
Big card. Talking about graphics cards, it looks like AMD's Radeon RX 7000 series is going to debut in late October. Again, these are just rumors according to pretty well-known leakers on Twitter. Third gen, late October, no later than mid-November. This would put it in line with NVIDIA's launches. Makes sense. Just like we said, holiday season, perfect time to build or update your computer. And it's expected to start, so they're going to do the same thing. This NVIDIA is going high to low. So again, RTX 4090 will launch first. RDNA 3, same thing. You'll have the flagship GPU, which will be the Navi 31, which will be powering the Radeon 7900 series. And then you'll go down from there to the Navi 33 and then the Navi 32. I would say they would follow the same sort of launch schedule as NVIDIA, whether it's right before or right after. You're going to see launches probably within the same month for each kind of bracket, I would say, which yeah. I like. I like, again, I like having, like, if you're like, okay, I want to buy a new GPU and I have this amount of money, here are the two best options available right now. Like, not like, hey, there's a 4090, but AMD has nothing right now. You're going to have to like wait 6 months for the new one. Like, it's nice being like, okay, here's the highest end NVIDIA products that's brand new, and here's the highest end AMD product that's brand new. And we can have them within a couple weeks of launching of each other would be.
Yeah. There's so much of a difference between a couple months and a couple weeks with these timelines. Yeah. Especially when you factor in like availability, because you're like, okay, I've, you know, let's say the NVIDIA part comes out first and you're like, well, I'm gonna wait and see what AMD's card looks like in a month or two, right? So then that comes out and you realize, no, I don't want that AMD card, I want the NVIDIA. Oh, well, they're out because they didn't have enough supply, right? So then you're in this weird limbo state of
trying to figure out what to do,
bad decisions or decisions that aren't exactly what you wanted.
Yeah. So we'll keep you updated on that. It's going to be a busy, I think, again, the world's kind of, you know, we've gotten back to some semblance of normalcy with supply chains and stuff. So be back to like being like, okay, it's a random Friday and I want to buy a graphics card. I have all these options that I can actually buy like right now, you know, instead of being like, oh, it's sold out everywhere. Okay. Another week. Oh, wait, it's still sold out. Oh, it's still sold out. Like, I still like when we go, and I talked about this last week, there's like deals on graphics cards on Amazon right now, which is pretty pretty awesome to see that I can like, go on Amazon and I can buy a car basically at MSRP, or some of them are on pretty some decent deals, and I can get it like the next day, which is not normal if you've lived through the past couple of years. So move over to CPUs and Sci Software, who makes the Sandra benchmarking software. We use it in a bunch of our reviews. They published a performance preview of the upcoming Intel Core i9-13900. This is the non-K version. Basically, they put out numbers from results that are in their database of this processor already to give an idea of kind of what you would see. So here we see the arithmetic, or I always say this wrong. Arithmetic test, but in any case, they compare it against an 11900K, a 12900, and a Ryzen 9 5900X, and it's about 33% to 50% faster than Alder Lake, and this is getting that result at a slower clock speed, which is pretty impressive. You can see the graph down here. It's you know, if you just look at the numbers, just compared to the previous generation, it's it's do, you know, it does
a decent bump.
Yeah, decent bump there. And then the SIM or the SIMD test is about 5 to 8% faster, not crazy faster in this specific test. But again, this is all on like pre-release drivers and things like that. But it gives you an idea of the performance that you would get. You know what I mean? So yeah, it's cool to see. I think we're very early on this. But it's always good to see the next generation get better, right?
Sure.
So yeah, I'm I feel like
that's an 8-core. What was it? Scroll down, 8-core.
It's I believe it's 16 cores,
16/32
performance cores.
Right.
So like I said, it's check out these graphs. There's a, like I said, we're decently far off. I would say this would be holiday time as well for this, cool. But still, like I said, the results are in their database, so they have it. So yeah, just to see what it can do and everything like that. So yeah. In the chat, Old Man said the Ryzen 9 5900X 12 core 24 thread processor is $395 on Amazon. Similar price on Newegg. Yeah, the stuff's gonna get, especially as next gen Ryzen is on the horizon here. Those prices will go down, and that's an excellent part that even if you bought it today would serve you for years. It's a very good part. So yeah, definitely be on the lookout for that stuff if you're looking to build a new PC or something like that. And then for the next story, Ryan has one on some new I have the old version of this, actually.
I was going to ask, do you have this in the queue for the reviews?
I do have this new one as well, but yeah.
Okay. So yeah, Viper is launching their what they're calling the world's first RGB M.2 NVMe Gen 4 drive. So this is a Gen 4x4 NVMe drive, 2280 size, so your standard M.2 drive for the most part. But we've got RGB. So if you can't live without it, right, like you can get it here from a Patriot. We've seen them do RGB on their previous drives as well. And they are using a controller I'm not really familiar with. It's the Integrit IG5220 yeah. 4x4 controller. And the specs I'm not like too jazzed about, right? Write speeds up to 4,600 megabytes a second. And reads of 4,600 and write of 4,400 megabytes. Available in a terabyte and 512 gigs. I was expecting a little more better performance out of a Gen 4 drive. Now, whether that's based on the controller or the NAND that they're using, or does it have to do with the lighting, you think? That it's we're just controller. Not getting this performance? Yeah, I think, yeah, that controller just doesn't have the...
We've tested a couple drives that are based off that controller.
Okay.
I do have to say, though, I have the Gen 3 version of this drive in my system now, and it's... The RGB is very understated. Like, it's the nice amount of RGB. It's not super bright. It's just... It kind of just... And it looks nice. And the black heat spreader completely covers everything. So is this going to look good? Like if you would happen to remove the M.2 heat sinks on your motherboard, that heat spreader is going to look good in your system no matter what.
Cool.
So yeah, so definitely
if you're interested. And you can adjust that lighting via Viper RGB 3.0 software as well. So and it's available now, I believe.
Yeah, I have one. It's in queue to review, so we do have one of those. So definitely stay tuned for that as well. And the game that Ryan used to play all the time.
I played it quite a bit when it came out.
Did Blizzard have Blizzard had an event? Because I saw a bunch of press releases. Like there's a new...
Mm-hmm.
What's the other
game? Diablo coming out.
Yeah, new Diablo game. But go ahead. I'll let you talk about Overwatch.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, Overwatch 2, right? I've been hearing Overwatch 2 for the longest time, and I kind of just like threw it to the wayside because I don't play Overwatch anymore. I did enjoy it. Like it's still a fun game. And there's, you know, some fun characters, cool mechanics that are there. But I think what a lot of people were most excited about was Junker Queen coming coming to play in, whoops, wrong window there. So I can scroll down. She's going to be one of the new playable characters in the game. She's kind of the overlord of Junkertown, which is, or of, is it Junktown? I'm trying to remember where Junker is from.
I don't know that world.
You don't know that world? That's all right. Yeah. So anyhow, they've given us a bit of an idea of when we can see some more reveal things, which is actually tomorrow, Thursday, 10 a.m.
Pacific.
So if you want more info on the game, definitely check that out. You can see it over on YouTube or on Twitch, which is nice. But Junker Queen's a tank character, and the franchise's 34th hero. I didn't realize there were 34 heroes, so I need to like load this game back up.
And yeah, I haven't played what I've missed for long. Blizzard just does games good, you know.
They do.
They're always fun, and I always found Overwatch as a game I could just like, I can just go in and have a good time, you know. Wasn't really concerned about anything, and you don't. I mean, it's better if you are playing with friends, but if you're not, it's still a game that you can just jump in. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No. I always have fun playing.
Yeah.
And yeah, this one's gonna be free to play, right? So you don't have to buy the game. Which is nice. I'm excited to play it. I'll probably check it out when it comes out.
Yeah, we should do a gaming stream for it.
Definitely.
Yeah, that'd be a lot of fun. So maybe get like a whole team of people. Maybe Old Man wants to play and some other people. And get Kinemesis in there and whoever else. Shinny, if he wants to play, get a whole group of people. How many is it? Five people?
I think there's, yeah, maybe. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, so we can get like a handful of people maybe up on, you know, we can do a stream or something like that. But yeah, I'm excited.
That'd be cool.
But like I said, Blizzard just does games well. Like if you're a fan of their games, I feel like they always deliver, even though I feel like hardcore Blizzard fans are like,
this is very
demanding. They're very demanding, but I feel like Blizzard always puts out good games, even though we haven't seen what's it called? What's the game? We haven't seen like a StarCraft game come out in forever.
Right. Yeah.
StarCraft 2. That doesn't count. That's been a when did StarCraft 2 come out? Look that up for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was let's see here, July 27th, 2010. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so
I was so excited for that game.
So StarCraft, we need a new StarCraft. But beyond that, they do good games. So, and then Old Man in the chat said Diablo Immortals pay to win microtransactions so bad. The Washington Post did an article on it. It's too, because I've heard the game itself is good. Yeah, and I believe in the new Diablo, they can't sell it in.
Yeah, there was somewhere where they couldn't.
And I forget whatever country, because of the microtransactions in it. That's one thing that is killing games, is like microtransactions is just, you know, not the best thing.
That's in our like our generation's opinion, right? Like all these younger people that have grown up with games, and it's just inherent. They're like, I think a lot of them don't see it as a big deal, especially on free-to-play games.
I will pay money for like a. I don't like the idea of paying to win, right?
Oh no.
Yeah, but like if I want a skin or something, like, you know, sure. I will, or like a loot box, like I'll pay for like a loot box or whatever, but a pay to actually win, no, I'm not a fan of that. So, so that comes to what we have coming up next week. Ryan, if you want to bring up yours on your screen, because I forgot to put it in the notes, we'll talk about mine first. I am taking a look at the ADATA SE880. This is and if you know me, you know I love these drives. This is a USB 3.2 Gen 2x2 portable solid state drive, and I wish I had this because I don't have it. I have like other portable drives kind of sitting here, but like, say like, this is like a normal size of like, this is actually a little bit bigger. I don't have another one, but this one is super tiny compared to its previous generation. It is so small. I love it. And it's USB 3.2 Gen 2x2, so 2,000 megabytes a second, makes it perfect for game drive, makes it perfect for editing, you know, 4K, 5K, 6K, 8K video. Like, it's perfect transferring files, doing all that kind of fun stuff. So I'm really excited to take a look at that. And then Ryan has a microphone.
Yeah, I've got the AKG Aura. Two pattern USB condenser microphone. So, you know, we've taken a look at some other microphones that have multiple polar patterns. This one has two patterns here, but just, you know, kind of your pretty standard condenser microphone.
It's do you work think for... Do you think that USB microphones have really gotten better over the past couple of years?
Definitely. Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I still prefer the sound from an XLR mic. Right. I think it's pretty good, but I mean, I've been using a USB mic for, you know, since I've had this, the Wave 3, and I'm perfectly happy with for my needs anyhow.
Yeah.
I think USB
and just like is the ease of use for beginners and yeah,
exactly. Yep. Yep. So yeah, it's kind of set up for kind of zoomed in here. You've got a front and back essentially is that polar pattern. So you can, you know, if you're the only one using it, set it to front. If you're doing kind of that face-to-face recording podcast or whatever the case may be, mounted on an arm or just on the table in front of you and set it to front and back. Nice. Which is pretty sweet. Yeah.
Very cool. Very cool. So definitely excited to for that stuff next week. And then we come to the end here and we talk about tech stuff. Did you do anything tech related this week? You got it. You got that keyboard in. You're excited for that.
Yep, got the keyboard. It's pretty sweet. I'm thinking tomorrow. I took tomorrow off and Friday off. I might finally swap out my power supply. Like, I ordered a power supply. Like, I've probably had it 2 months.
Yeah,
I just haven't had time to swap it out. And I might. We'll see how ambitious I get. Like, do some new bins and clean my loop. But I don't know.
Gotcha.
That's like that's a major overhaul, right? And some downtime without my system. So we'll see.
Yeah, I didn't do anything tech related, but I did go see Top Gun Maverick.
Yeah,
excellent movie. Excellent. It's probably the best movie I've seen in a very long time. I mean, the past couple of movies.
I'm glad you enjoyed it because I was like, dude, you've got to see this. I saw it twice this weekend, and I'm just glad you didn't come back and be like, what?
No, crap. I mean, they did it really well. And then I watched. I don't know if you've heard of Jocko. He's
a fighter. Military. Yeah, fighter. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He had somebody who was like a Top Gun pilot, Top Gun instructor on his podcast talking about the movie and what was real. And he said most of it was very real, like the maneuvers that they were doing. And even spoiler alert, when they go up over and they had to invert
the way they flip to
make the turn. Yeah. So the reason they do that is because if you do it like this, you'll put yourself in a negative G. Yeah. Something like he explained a lot of the stuff very well. And definitely check out Jocko's podcast when he has that guy on there. But yeah, the movie was one of the best movies I've seen in a very long time. And I think they did justice to the original. Lots of action. Definitely see it in the theater because you want to feel like you're, you know, in the cockpit. You're in the cockpit. And I was just like researching some of it. I forget how much it was an hour to use those planes.
It was like 18,000 an hour, I thought.
Yeah, something and like I don't know how many hours they put in. I mean, probably a lot to get all their shots and stuff. But and there's like some very good new, like I had told you last, or no, did I tell you? I don't think we talked about last week in the podcast, but I watched the original like 2 days before I went and saw the
movie. Really?
So I could catch on all the nuances that they have between the original and the new one, which is really cool. So if you're gonna go, like I said, I went and saw it in the middle of the day. There was like five other people in the theater, which was kind of cool. But yeah, definitely go see it. It's like a feel good movie too. Very cool. So yeah, old man in the chat, he said he bought some TV wall mounts for his LG 55 OLED. Oh, you have a 55 OLED. That's nice. And his Sony 4K TV. He hasn't gone around installing them yet. I've never actually done a wall mount. Have you done a wall mount for a TV?
Yeah, I did one in our master bedroom upstairs. And it's, I got one that tilts and everything, but we keep it in the same spot. But yeah, I put one in there in our bedroom.
You have to like find the studs. I ran the cables.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that seems like too much work for me. but yeah, that's the only thing I always worried about was like, oh, I'll miss. And then I was just like, I don't know. Maybe it's because like I'm old school, but like, I'm like, oh, this thing's going to fall off.
Even when I had like the studs. Yeah.
Yeah. Like my monitor now that's sitting on this monitor arm, I'm like, this thing's going to just fall off here. I mean, I know it's not, but it's just like, I don't know. Yeah. So yes, I just have my TV in the living room just sitting on like a TV stand, but yeah. Alrighty guys. Well, we're going to jump off here and head on over to Twitch playing some Apex Legends, twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. Ryan will have the stream up here very soon. As I always say, good to see everybody here, old man. Good to see you here this week. Everybody else in the live chat. And of course, everybody else who listens later. Also, if you want to hop on our Discord, I've been throwing Steam keys in there for random games. I'll probably do one later tonight. So thinkcomputers.org/Discord. I believe that gets you in there.
What's the free games this week? Old man slacking on his volunteer duties. I'm looking right now. Let me load up.
Oh, you want to see what the free games on Epic are? Yeah, free games.
We've always been mentioning them.
Yeah, we have been. Yeah.
So, of course, Epic Games is like taking forever to load up. Preparing the Epic Games Launcher. There's probably an update that's like.
Oh, well, you can just go to the website. Let's see. I believe it should tell you what. Here we go. Old man has it. Man Eater is free on Epic till tomorrow at 10 a.m.
Okay.
And they have 25%. Hold on, I'll just bring this up. It is. Oh, wait. Let me go back. Yeah, mega sale. They're having a mega sale. 25% off coupon. So.
Off of anything?
Maybe. I don't know. It just says. Cool. Yeah. Let's see what it says. Yeah, I mean, there's some decent, like Far Cry 6, $30. Borderlands 3, $14.
Shinny says, old man is the fastest.
Well, ew, yeah. Red Dead and Redemption 2, $30. Cyberpunk should be 10. It's still 30 for all the issues that game had. Riders Republic is 20. That actually seemed like a cool game, but I haven't played a game like that in so long. But yeah, lots of you know, deals on games and stuff. So, but yeah, we are going to jump over to Twitch. Like I said, twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. We will be over there. Thanks everybody for tuning in this week, and we will see everybody next week.